G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. This is episode 95. It's the 24th of June 2024. We're back after a month hiatus. We didn't mean for it
Wait,
to be that
what?
Long.
Has it been a month? Has it actually
been a month?
Oh,
pretty sure. Hang on. 2 seconds. The last episode was posted on the 28th of May. That would be just under a month ago.
Dude, time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun and can't do a makeup session. But yeah, apologies for the big long hiatus. It just kind of ended up happening. I can't remember what the reason was for not being able to do the original scheduled episode, but we couldn't do it. And then we tried to schedule a follow-up, and then we just couldn't do that either.
Me was sick. Your missus was sick, Cap.
That's right. I remember now. And I was worried because she wasn't going to be able to put Ted to bed that night, and I was like, well, fuck. This is a bit rough. And then, just all fell apart, basically. But we tried. It didn't work. And we thought, fuck it. We'll be back at the next scheduled episode. So, shit happens. But hope you're doing well. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you guys immensely. And, how you been, Grizz? What's been happening?
I've been good, Capo. What's been happening? I can't remember 4 weeks ago. But more recently, Capo, things have been good, mate. I had a... had a really fun gig on the weekend. We played, my second ever show for the Audio Slave Tribute Band, which was a lot of fun at a venue called Linnet's Lounge in Perth, which is
Northbridge.
They pretty much, dude, I think it only opens for like certain events. Do you know where Johnny Fox's is? Johnny Fox's. Ugh. Is where Rosie O'Grady's is.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But it's now called Johnny Fox's. Yeah, so behind that room is a function room in there.
Ah, okay, with you.
That gets like live bands. Yeah, it was awesome, dude. I love it. Love playing Audio Slave. It's such heavy, melodic
just
swagger.
Swag rock.
Just bangers. Swag rock. It's exactly what it is. Swag
Can't
rock.
Can't beat a bit of swag rock. Love that. And you guys pull it off big time. Like,
thanks, man.
So good.
Yeah, look, I took some really rough camera footage. Sometimes we are able to get like the stems from the desk and get someone to mix it down and do a real pro mix. This one was just a camera. But if anyone wants to go check it out, it is on my Twitter page. There is a video to some live footage from that show if you're interested. But it was a lot of fun, Cap. I really enjoyed myself. I still, after those kind of shows, man, I get on this adrenaline rush literally for days after.
Yeah.
And I'm still on it. Now, like it gives me such a high. So,
hell yeah, dude,
it's cool. But Cap, I've also been doing some oil spill training, mate. So, spent the day today.
As in how to do it, or
as in how to respond to an oil spill? Yeah. So I'm actually part of this.
Hopefully,
thing
not teaching you how to do an oil spill.
How to fucking
how you do it, guys. You just fucking spill it. It's fucking easy.
Put it in the water, mate. I'm learning all the different response strategies, how to like do stuff, like set up. Containment boom and skimmers and how to spray dispersant on and all this kind of stuff. And the idea is that I'll be part of what's called the core group, which is basically a group of people that if the shit hits the fan in Australia, I'll get a phone call and I'll be out there like helping clean up the oil.
Shit, so man. That's kind of cool though, right? Like,
it's pretty cool.
Being response numero uno.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So I've been doing that, mate. So I've spent the day doing that today. I'll be doing that for the rest of the week, basically, that kind of training. So, it's
wow,
good.
Man, I this is kind of semi-related, but I remember my dad telling me about I don't know whether it's a actual thing or not, but once upon a time, I remember him telling me about this bacteria that they were trying to develop that would like eat oil spills. Have you ever heard about that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is a thing. So the whole thing about oil spills is you actually want to entrain the oil from the surface into the water column because that's what breaks it down. In the water column, all the microbes and other bits and pieces actually eat it and like, turn it down, break it down in the water column. Whereas if it's stuck on the surface, it basically will just create slicks and strand on shorelines and stuff. So, I think old man might be – there is a bunch of research where they actually looked at introducing like bugs into the water to increase that microbial action to
eat
the oil
quicker.
Faster. Yeah, moving quicker.
Yeah.
That's the whole idea of dispersant. It's literally like dish soap. So they go and spray it on planes on oil on the surface and it will disperse it into the water.
It's kind of like, literally your kitchen sink, right? I mean, that's what soap does,
It's the same stuff. It's actually less It's interesting, eh? Because there's a lot of people complaining about, well, they complain about the toxicity of dispersant. But dispersant is actually less toxic than your dishwasher soap that you put in, that wash your dishes in. Yeah, that goes down the sink every day and into drains and wherever else that goes. And
yeah, it's kind of like the argument for, like, there's a few very, you know, everyone always gets their fucking knickers in a twist about environmental stuff, and I totally understand. But there's things like fracking and even just like nuclear power where, you know, you'd be, I think there's a shitload of misinformation about actually how bad those things actually are.
Yeah.
Like, and people are just like, it's so fucking bad for the environment. It's like, well, actually, there's no research to suggest that it is.
Particularly nuclear power, dude. Yeah. I mean, I think people look at, like, the Holocaust and a bunch of other stuff and go, oh, you know, that's real fucking bad.
Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. Like, if it's not monitored, yeah, it's going to cause a fucking issue, right? But, you know, like, I think one thing is people worry about what you do with the waste afterwards. But, I mean, mate, just dig a big old fucking pit like America did. Fucking bury that shit.
Large cap. Australia's pretty large.
Got a lot of space. A lot of space. But, yeah, anyways, fucking very off topic. But, yeah, all right, so you're doing some sick training.
Yeah, it's cool, dude. It's cool. I get to be out in the boat and, like, doing stuff and pretending to be an oil spill responder. But no, it's good. I'm enjoying it. What about you, Capo? What's been happening on your plate, mate? A bit of gaming, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's been really good. So what have I been doing? Not an awful lot. I've just basically been a dad for the most part. Being a dad, being a fucking guy that works in development at a you know, medium-sized company and very, very busy there. God, what else have I been doing? Oh, man, it's just, I've just been, I feel like I'm just in, like, a surge, you know, and I just kind of go with it at the moment. I just
You've lost a bunch of weight, though, Cap, haven't you?
I have lost a bunch of weight. So it's been, like, I've been trying to watch my weight for probably about 6 months now, maybe more. And I think I started off at, like, 135-ish or so, and I'm just under 114 now, so... just over 20 kgs lost since the start of the year, which has been great.
Dude, and, that is insane.
Yeah, so it's been really good. Plus, also, I'm really consistent with my gym at the moment. I've been going twice a week, do nice big long sessions, and definitely noticing, like, some, you know, like, basically putting a lot of muscle on at the moment. My PT's been really stoked.
Do you have, like, so you go and you have a personal trainer, Cap, that kind of
yeah, like, so I'm at, like, the local leisure center, and you get, like, every month you get a free PT session for an hour and a half, and it's so good. You know, you just set goals, you go and you know, figure out what you got, any exercises you feel aren't really hitting it right, or whatever else. I give you a hand with that. I'm less so interested in that, more so interested in, I guess, we do a body scan every week. So just keeping an eye on, like, my body percentages, which is great because it's, you know, I can see my body fat coming down, and I've kind of hit a bit of a plateau. I'm still losing weight, but it's definitely plateaued with my weight loss. But I can see that my fat percentage is coming down, but my muscle weight's going up, as well as my overall protein percentage and water percentage, which is good, right? So it's just a good way to kind of track progress when you feel like there is a progress there, but, like, underneath it all, it's like, yeah, your weight might not have changed, but your body composition is way better.
That's so good, dude. Yeah, I wish I had have done that, eh? Like, because my weight has pretty much, actually, I'm a bit heavier than what I was, but my body shape has changed over time.
Yeah.
But I'd love to know, what the percent movement was
It's really good information. So, and I feel like now I know where I want to be weight wise and I know what I think will be kind of healthy once I hit my kind of you know, goal weight and stuff, and where I want to be with, like, my kind of percentages and stuff, and definitely can see myself getting there. It's probably the most success I've ever had with weight loss ever, and a lot of that's been fueled by just not even calorie counting, but just being conscious with my calories. And just, like, substituting a lot of things, not really restricting myself, but, you know, kind of just adjusting my lifestyle a little bit, which has been kind of wild. I mean, realistically, it's all about being in a calorie deficit, but it's actually not that hard to achieve, and you'd be surprised at how much you can fit into like, your calorie budget per day with just a few kind of little tweaks. Like, yeah, it's just crazy. So Yeah, it's been a big long journey for 6 months, but can't see myself stopping.
So, Capo, someone listening in that wants to potentially lose weight, what is your biggest tip, do you think? Where's a good starting point the iceberg, mate?
I think I resisted it for ages, right? But I think starting and counting your calories for a good fortnight will give you an idea of how much food you eat and how much what that equates to. So figure out your I can't remember the word for it, but if you go to like fat loss calculator or some shit online, you'll figure out fat loss calorie calculator or whatever. You'll figure out what your daily calorie amount needs to be to lose weight, and then track your calories, and you will be very surprised at how much you're eating, basically. And there's some little things that you can do just to reduce that overall number really easily. And, you know, some people, milk with coffee is a real big deal, and you might not be able to do that. But for me, I've just completely switched to black coffee and cold brew. And that's, you know, like a cup of milk is like, you know, almost 200 calories, which is fucking heaps. Right. And you're having three, you know, big cappuccinos a day. That's literally one meal a day in just your drinking. So liquid calories are fucked. Even sauces and stuff, got to watch your sauces. Sauces add up really quickly. Kewpie mayonnaise, fucking tasty as hell. But guess what? Hypercalorific, you know?
Full of calories, right.
Yeah, table, like a big tablespoon is like 200 calories or something ridiculous. It's insane. And I mean, you know, when you go and squeeze that shit on your teriyaki chicken or whatever, you squeeze half the bottle on it, and you've just about had 2 days worth of bloody calories.
Yeah, you know, bad. So I think it sounds like it's those little changes that you can make that make a big one, make a big difference.
Yeah, even just like I still like to reward myself, but I just change the rewards, like. You know, no sugar soft drink, you know, for example. I smash those at home. I love this no sugar Sunkist. It's fucking awesome. I've been smashing, instead of having like, I guess, desserts or whatever else, I've been having like protein yogurt, and I've found this like powdered peanut butter stuff that I put on top of the vanilla protein yogurt. It tastes freaking awesome. And then even things like having mini versions of your favorite ice cream. So like, you know, like a mini Magnum, that's only going to be like 170 odd calories versus a big one's going to be closer to 300 plus. So, you know, it's just these little things, tweaks you can make in your life that you'd be really surprised at how far they go. And it's just being, all it comes down to is consistency. And it's really hard to begin with, but you get into the vibe and, you know, these days I don't even think about it. It's just do it. It's
good. Got to do it long enough for it to be habit, mate.
Yeah. Another big ones have like plenty of water, because that'll help satiate you as well. That's probably my biggest downfall, I think, in my day to day, is I definitely don't drink enough water. But a lot of that I put down to my ADHD medication. So just kind of completely forget about it. But losing weight can be difficult. But I guess the one thing I'd say is stay away from all those like bullshit, like, you know, do the keto diet and all this other shit. It's like, you don't need that. You just need to be in a fucking calorie deficit and you're good. I have a bacon egg sandwich every morning and I'm still losing weight. Yep. So you can lose weight and enjoy the things you want to eat. But you just got to find the way to do it. And a lot of that is just monitoring your calories. So, yeah. Anyways, that's Capo's fucking, you know, life-changing fucking, you know, weight coaching fucking shit. But, yeah, so, I mean, last 3 weeks, Grizz, things are just kind of being cruise. And Ted's, you know, starting to, I don't know, he's just got such a big personality now at the moment, like, just like putting sentences together and stuff, not like huge sentences, but conjoining words into things that I can actually go, oh, okay, that's what you're trying to do or say or whatever.
Wow. So,
it's crazy. So
time's changing, mate. Getting old.
Oh, man. Rapidly. So, And the only other thing we've got on the back burner is we are about to sign a contract to get another story put on our house, which I'm pretty excited for. So,
bedroom upstairs, mate. Is the game room staying in the same room?
Actually, no. So my games room and Ted's current room, all the walls are being knocked out into like a big open living dining area. And then we're putting another big 3x1 on top of the house so that we've got enough rooms, kind of thing.
Do you reckon you'll paint it green again, dude?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I used it once upon a time, but I haven't used my green screen forever. It's unfortunately a waste of green screen as well, dude.
Do you remember that room I had with all the fucking blankets on the walls? I had like a full studio-proof room.
Oh, man. That was in the... Was that in the garage?
I had one set up in the garage, but also did one in the house where I just like bolted packing blankets up on all the walls and shit, dude. Yeah, it was mental.
We've had some ghetto setups over our time.
We have.
Crazy.
We have.
So funny. But yeah, anyways, we should probably jump into it, Grizz, because, you know, this is a show about video games.
Yep,
let's do it. So, firstly, just want to say a big thank you to everyone listening at home. You guys bloody rock. Appreciate you for sticking by us. Through thick and thin months and everything else. You can do so if you're listening to this live and you'd prefer to listen to this, after the fact, you can do so by going to ogr.show and you can find links to all of our main podcasting platforms, Spotify, iTunes, all the rest of it. Otherwise, if you want to listen to this live and you're listening to this after the fact right now, you can go to twitch.tv/OceanicGamingRadio, follow us there, and then after that, join us on Monday nights every second week at 7 p.m. And we've got a few bloody legends in here tonight. We've got Fancy Badger and Airy J poking their heads in saying g'day, so you too can join those legends. Anyways, outside of that, just want to say a massive thank you to our wonderful ongoing Patreons. They're the guys that come out each week, drop a few dollarinos in our back pocket, and it's much appreciated because, keeping these lights on ain't cheap. Okay, pal. So those legends are the following. I'm a Sukai, Moosey, Caging Runt, Lee, J-Libs, Brendan, Strops, and Bloody Slatos. Appreciate your legends. Also, Blindside of Moose is in the chat. Moosey.
Champions.
Love you, baby.
He is. Moosey. Moosey.
So there you go. All right. Diving straight in, mate. You know, we've got a big old... I played the wrong stinger, but, you know, this is it for now. I mean, it's technically news. It's technically news. So, Grizz, follow-up to what will probably go down in history as one of the greatest video games of all time, Elden Ring. The DLC launched last Friday.
Did.
Shadow of the Erdtree.
It's upon us.
It's here, and boy, it's kicking some asses. but pretty good reviews so far. I think there might be a few performance issues, but...
people were talking about like micro status on PC and whatnot, Cap. I actually have not looked at the reviews at all for the game. I've been just avoiding everything Elden Ring, so I'm going to look it up right now. How's it looking? How's the DLC looking,
I'm just looking at the... it looks like it's 98 overall, or 95 overall, which I believe is the highest rated piece of DLC of all time, beating The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine, which was an excellent piece of content. So far with my playthrough, it is solely deserving of it. I mean, the thing is, it's really hard. I think it would have been really hard for them to fuck this up, basically. They had Elden Ring, which, you know, again, incredible video game. And they've just given us more of that and just, you know, gone a bit harder on some of the design elements, I think. But maybe we'll kind of start from the top, Grizz, you know. You know, how's your experience been so far, just generally? Maybe we can kind of dive into certain aspects.
I think they've given me exactly what I wanted from the DLC, Cap, which is basically, I think, all right, so my perspective on this, Cap, is every From Software Souls game to date, that first playthrough of that Souls game is something special because you're kind of exploring and, you know, fighting the bosses and that dopamine hit when you beat them. And that's what I wanted. I wanted Elden Ring, but just more of what made Elden Ring great, which is the great exploration and everything else. Talked about it many times. And so far, after putting in probably maybe 15 hours-ish, I think I'm probably maybe two main bosses in and just kind of cruising through. It's given me exactly what I want, Cap. I'm really enjoying it. Challenging. In fact, it's probably a bit fucked in some places, I'd say.
Understatement.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It's hard.
Yeah,
and I'm just reading through some of the posts on. So it's actually copying mixed reviews on Steam. A lot of them are to do with performance, but there are some around difficulty in there. Yeah, could see. It's pretty hard. But I feel like that's what they did in. Do you remember the Dark Souls 3 DLC with who was that? There was one fight in one of the DLCs that was just
Gaston or some shit.
Oh, there was Gale. But there was this frozen chick who I reckon she was one of the worst. Oh,
Freya or something like that?
Yes, Sister Freya. And
Sister Freya and all, mate.
She's got three phases and just like brutal.
Yeah, out of control.
Anyway.
Ashes of Arundel or some shit, I think that DLC. I never played it actually in the end, but
man. Yeah, that was great. Look, Cap, I think the game's ticking the boxes for me so far. I just can't put it down at the moment. Every spare second I've got on picking it up and playing it. And unfortunately, that means I'm having to put the old Baldur's Gate 3 on a mode. The boys are just waiting for me to get my Elden Ring fix first as I spend my time playing that. But no, I'm enjoying it. And I've kind of, I don't know if you want to talk about builds at all, but I've approached the game differently this time around. And I'm really enjoying the approach I've taken. But I do kind of feel like there is a lot of options to play the game. You know, they've introduced a bunch of new. Like builds based on spells and items that you find, and you can boost certain things through some amulets or trinkets, whatever they're called, talalismans.
And
I feel like it's pretty open to play the game you want to play it, which is classic Elden Ring style. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, maybe we'll save our builds for maybe towards the end, but I think I kind of just want to quickly touch on maybe some of the story. You know, I don't want to kind of spoil anything, and I won't, but I really like how they're introducing, you know, we knew that Mikula was going to be one of the main characters. Of Mikula is not in the base game, but alluded to heavily, and, you know, we know of their existence and who they are, and they're basically a demigod. They're, you know, like a, you know, they're born of the main goddess in the game, and they're supposed to be this kind, you know, person that's...
they call it kindly... Kindly
Mikula.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that because they are kind?
Well, presumably. You know, I always think that, you know, when you're when in a story like this, if you're being referred to as kindly, you're probably almost certainly not going to be kindly by the end of the game.
That's what I was thinking about,
I'm sure we're heading towards that. But it's really interesting. There's a lot of like iconography and you know, even some of the character dialogue. You're meeting these characters that are following Mikula. They're kind of like the apostles almost. There's so much Jesus Christ symbology in this game. It's ridiculous. And kind of setting up Mikula to be kind of like this martyr figure. And basically the whole idea is that it seems like Marika, the original goddess from Elden Ring, kind of stole something from the shadow realm that we're in right now. And basically fucked over an entire race of people to create her paradise in where Elden Ring set, the Lands Between. And anyways, it kind of feels like Mikula's gone back to kind of make things right and is kind of martyring himself to, you know, undo the injustice and try and make things right, essentially. And so you're kind of following the footsteps of Mikula through the Land of Shadow as he's managed to get back into the land that's been obscured for ages. And he's been leaving parts of himself behind at these little crosses. And so you're finding out like what he's been doing and where he's gone across the Lands of Shadow. But the interesting thing with the whole kind of game and the lore is there's so much parallel between environments in the Shadow of the Erdtree with what's happening within Elden Ring. And everywhere you go, you almost go like, oh my God, so that's why that's like that in the Land Between, and that's why that is there, and oh, this is the thing that you see over there, and so that's why they're like that. And it's just it's so enjoyable right now for me just exploring, because I'm doing a lot of that, because I'm finding that the mainline bosses just to be almost fucking impossible, and so I'm like, well, fuck it, I'll just go and explore. And I think that's probably another thing I just want to talk about, Grizz, is you're so well rewarded for exploration because of the new system that's in place with you basically collect these fragments around the world, just kind of littered in little points of interest, and you find these fragments called Scoutu tree fragments, yeah. And you put them together to basically increase your damage negation and damage dealt within the Land of Shadow. So the more you collect, kind of the better off you are, I guess. And
is the blue one
really promotes exploration?
Is that your summons, the blue one that you find as well?
There's two. There's the fragments, yeah. Which are the tree fragments, which give you the damage negation and damage dealt. And then the other one, which is like, the blue things. I can't remember what they're called. And they basically improve your spirit summons and stuff.
I think it's your spirit summons, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's great. And you know what? Like, it's crazy because some of the fragments are hidden in like places that you wouldn't think there'd be an important item there.
Yeah, which is great. So it really promotes you to go and check everything out. And the one thing I've noticed is, so I haven't put in too many levels in the DLC for my character because I've just either A, been getting completely fucked or... and just losing my souls. And I'm like, okay, well, there goes, 150K souls, bugger.
What level are you, by the way, Kat?
Probably 160 odd.
Oh, shit, maybe, you're higher than maybe me, just under. Pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, but it feels like nothing. Like, I'm, when I first walked in there, I got two hit by a general mob, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, man.
This is insane.
I found a random, like... one of those invader guys, and he kicked my ass so many times. I was like, nah, fuck this. And he wasn't even doing anything special. It was just hitting like an absolute truck.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. I mean, the first time I found one of those big flame basket dudes, he just stomped on me and I fucking insta-died. And I was like, shit. Yeah. Really? And then the first boss I found...
Have you killed one of those flame basket guys? No, me either. No, left them for now.
No, haven't even bothered. Never even bothered trying. And then I found a boss and he... Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you've seen the trailer, it's the Lion Dancer boss. I found the Lion Dancer boss. And he fucking two hit me. And I was just like, what the fuck? I have 60 vigor and I am like a strength guy and he fucking two hit me. Yeah. And I was like, this is shit out. So I just left. But since I've been collecting the fragments, I think I'm at level 5 or 6 fragments. I can like really take a few hits now. I went back and gave him another crack and I thought, I could beat you if I just sat here for an hour and I could beat you basically. But I was like, I'm going to go and do more exploring, go and find more fragments, just make this easier on myself. And I'm really enjoying the exploration. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do that.
Are you summoning? Are you using all the tools?
I was summoning the NPCs, but I was summoning the NPCs, I couldn't summon my mimic.
Oh, really? Fuck, I've got both out in those
I don't
spots.
Think. Or maybe I did. I can't quite remember now. Maybe I did.
Yeah, I'm can't summoning. Remember. I'm using all the tools the game's giving me to play because I just want to fucking beat the game.
Yeah, but I'm the same. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, man. The exploration, though, Capo, I feel like, I don't know what it is, but, or maybe I do know what it is, but I feel like it's a little bit more complicated this time around, right off the bat.
I know exactly. Do you mean the exploration?
Yeah,
or?
The exploration itself.
I know what it is.
An example is the dungeon at the starting area of Elden Ring, the dungeon's very linear, straightforward. You do this, this, and this. I've found myself a few times already, and I'm like, I just can't figure out where to go. And then ding, and you'll figure out, you've got to hit this lever. And it's almost like little Zelda dungeons now. And stuff seems a lot more well hidden and, harder.
I think the biggest component of it feeling complex is there is so much verticality. It's insane.
If you
compare it to the base game, everything's just laid out and you can see, there's something over there and I can go on this cliff and I'll do that. With this game, it's like, fuck, I'm on this plateau and there's fucking shit down there. And how the hell do I get up there? Oh, man, it's insane. There's so much shit going on. But I think you do hit your stride once you kind of really start pushing out beyond the first two major areas and you can feel how things kind of, are pieced together. Once you start unlocking your map fragments, then it feels a bit easier. But that's the other thing is it's really hard to figure out how to get to some of the map fragments. I've still not filled the map out, but I've got most of it done.
But do you?
I think I've maybe got one or two, maybe one piece left.
I think I found three map fragments and I've got one to go. And I was like, I'm just going to mark this, go pick it up now. And I'm like, Oh, no, I'm not.
Wait, looking I can't up, even over this. Get there. Yeah, that's a fucking cliff.
this big cliff, and just like no way to get down there.
Yeah. But it's really cool. The interconnectedness of the world is really interesting because it's often connected in ways you wouldn't expect. You know, there might be like a big chasm that you go into and you think, oh, okay, well, this is now joined to this underground river and now I'm suddenly out on this big coastline or, you know, I'm doing all these other shit. Like I've gone through this sunken temple and now I'm suddenly out in here. It starts to piece it all together.
You know how Dark Souls 3 did a great job of map design on a smaller level where you would, you know, unlock a shortcut back to a grace that you got at the start of that area.
Yeah.
I've kind of done that, but on a map level, like on a world building level, which is just super cool. I'm finding the same thing. You know, I unlocked like a jump on my horse, which took me to an area where was linking already to another area that I'd been, but just another little subsection of that. Yeah. Finding it, it's so cool though, Cap. Like there's just so much to do. And, similar to the last one, if you're getting your ass kicked, you know, it's great to have that option to go and do something else for a little bit and find some more fragments and come back.
You're really not locked in anywhere. Like I've almost explored pretty much all of them, not all the map, but like I understand how it's all pieced together now and I know that I've got enough option to literally go wherever I want. I don't think I'm actually gated by any bosses, basically, to go into further areas. Like, it tends to be like you can go to any area you want, and generally at the end of that area, there's going to be a boss there, which I really like because, you know, you can find stuff. Like, I've had no issues with the dungeon bosses. I've been able to kill all of those, every single Smashed one them. I've come up, up against. It's just those main bosses where I'm just like, holy fuck, this guy is smacking me to pieces.
I think my build is OP, Cap.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. I thought that Faith and Holy might have been really strong in this game, but it doesn't seem to be as strong as I was hoping for, and I kind of went all in on it. I can always like get out of it. Like I've got enough like fragments and shit to go and do something else. But I think it seems like status effect stuff is really strong, like really, really strong.
I'm sure it'll change. It did in the base Elden Ring game. A lot of stuff started to become immune to Scarlet Rot and poison and things. But, yeah, so my build right now is I basically try to get as many status effects on people as I can. So I go for poison and Scarlet Rot.
So how are you applying those?
So I found a weapon in the DLC that's like a fist. I think it might actually be an ogre fist, and it applies a poison debuff. The special move on it just injects poison into the target, and if they can be poisoned, they will be poisoned in that one hit. So the idea is that you put the fists on and you punch them and do that, and then I've got those God's Miracle, the dragon ones, that can apply the Scarlet Rot on people, the dragon spells, faith spells.
Yeah.
And then you use
because you've got weapon. Arcane, aren't you?
I've got so it's all so the thing with arcane it increases the damage and the build up speed of all of those poison, scarlet rot, and bleed. And I'm using the talismans that increase my attack power when a target is poisoned or bleeding around me. So
it's kind of so it's just like self stacking and you know self fulfilling.
Dude, it is very fun because I'm changing weapons. So you start off with a fist and you punch a guy until he's poisoned and then you pull out my weapon and bleed them and then I've got those two buffs on me and then you're pretty strong, got those attack power
buffs.
That does
sound like a really fun way to play because that's the other thing is like I feel like with this DLC, like you were saying earlier, I think you're much less locked in to a weapon and you feel less obliged to stick to one weapon because I am playing kind of maybe like a strength, pretty much mostly strength faith, but I've got a little bit of dex to enable me to use the a particular colossal. I'm basically using colossal weapons for stagger, but I've got three main ones I'm using. I found a big katana that does bleed damage, so I've been running with that.
Where did you find that katana?
In a dragon thing.
I found that one as well. I haven't tried it yet. Yeah. But it looks cool.
It's
good. Is it one of the big, big, long katanas?
Really, really fucking cool sword. Is it? Yeah. Really fucking cool. And I was like, I'm fucking using this. And because it's also a strength weapon as well, I thought, fuck it, I'm going to use that. So I started using that. And then I've also got a big kind of like smash thing. Like a, it's one of the, I found a new one. It's like a big holy black
Was that thing. In a furnace thing, Cap? In a...
No, this isn't that one. This is a, it's held by those knights, the black knights with the, they've got like feathers coming off their helmet and they've got this big bomby knocker thing.
Oh, yeah.
I've got one of those.
Yeah.
And that does a lot of holy damage and it does a shitload of damage as well. So heaps of stagger potential there. Plus, I've kind of got like that plus my bleed katana. Plus, I've also got the fire. Greatsword, not the blasphemous blade or whatever, but it's the it's like the queen's something or other. It's a very cool looking sword, but yeah. So I've got three different options, and I kind of just figure out what might be the best to use based on what they might be sort of weak to, which is not always the case.
I do definitely find, and I don't know whether this has changed in the DLC, but that bosses seem to stagger less.
Way less, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really hard for just a little strong boy like myself to try to stagger people. I did know, because a lot of people were, there's one boss that you find pretty early on called like Blackguard Knight or something like that, and it's like this guy in a little mausoleum.
Yeah, he just kicked my ass for a little bit, dude. He fucking kicked my ass, yeah.
So I had enough to stagger him, and so he was a piece of pie for me. I basically one-shot him, just walked out. I was like, that guy's fucking easy. And
then I saw online, everyone was just like, on that prick,
yeah, well, that's what I saw. And I was like, fuck, okay. So there's certain things that I'm finding easier than what other people are. But then, like, the Lion Dancer boss, fucking bullshit, just because I can't get out of his shit quick enough to and get him to do any damage. So it's really hard. So it's just, it's like anything, you know, like all the bosses, like some are easier, others are harder. I found the dragons that are floating around really easy now with my new sword because it does extra dragon damage. Like, it's just, you know, shit like that.
What, the katana does it?
Yeah, baby.
Does it?
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
It says in the tooltip, it's like, this weapon has an anti-dragon effect. And I was like, fucking sweet.
Is it leveled up with Titanite, that one? Or
Somber.
All my weapons are Somber. You know what?
All the good ones always are. The ones that have like special attacks and stuff, they always are.
Because
if you can put an Ash of War onto it, it's probably going to be regular. Otherwise, it's going to be the other one.
Yeah.
But
because
I
haven't
finished
the main game, Cap, I haven't got all of the like the smithing stones.
Yeah.
I've used all my nines and tens.
Yeah. Though I'm finding I'm getting a lot of, there's a fair bit of like materials that you can find in the world, which I thought at first I was like, man, oh, boring. Like, but then I was like, well, I'm finding all these fucking weapons that I want to upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I think they've actually done a pretty good job. You're right, actually. You're right. There are quite a few upgrades around, like upgrade materials around the place. Yeah.
And it's varied as well.
So I am using that poison punch, and I'm glad, like, eventually I want to replace my main weapon as well with another bleed weapon. Arcane bleed weapon, but I haven't come across anything yet. Actually, Cap, are you finding that you haven't found a heap of spells or miracles and stuff around yet?
Yeah. Is that
going to come later, you reckon? Or
I've walked into an area where I found a couple of spells already, and I was like, oh, is this like the spell area? Oh, what's going on? You know what I mean? Because like some, like when you go to the academy, like it was like, there was like 50 spells in there. So I was like, okay, maybe this is like the zone for that. So they are littered, but I was expecting to find way more faith spells because I was like, sweet, I'm going to go faith incantations and just like do fucking faith spells. But I found nothing. I found like three or four max, and they're all like, some of them are just fucking useless. So yeah, it's a bit of a shame, but you know, fucking whatever, it's fine. But I've been really enjoying it. I tell you what, the environments, Grizz, are striking. Like some of the best game environments I've ever seen. And when you've got, you know, like a nice PC to run this stuff on, like you walk into some new areas and I just go, fuck, man, this is like a water painting. It's unbelievable. So beautiful. And the variance in, because it's not just like, oh, I don't know, like some of the areas in Elden Ring, like, again, beautiful, but there was a lot of similarity in between the areas where some of these places, they are like vibrant in a different kind of hue, and they kind of, you know, there's a type of weather thing happening.
You're totally right, because when you first come out, there are similarities to what is it called? The Lands Between or whatever it is. But then I went back and I was screwing around in normal Elden Ring. I was like, actually, they have totally changed the, the saturation or something. Yeah. There's just these slight little differences that make it different.
Mm. Yeah, and even like the whole, not Erdtree in the background, and that's like slowly crumbling, and there's like certain other things you can see off in the distance that are kind of like, it almost reminds me of like, you know, in Ocarina of Time, you could always see like Death Mountain out in the background, and eventually you got there. And, I'm finally kind of starting to make my way to those certain points on the map, and you get there and you're like, fuck, this is pretty hectic. Like, but yeah, God, so far I'm insanely impressed, and I think it's definitely worth the review score it's been getting. I haven't finished it yet, but I think that on pretty much every level that I would probably, give it a score on, I think it's definitely probably one of the most impressive things I've ever played. Yeah. And again, it just kind of builds on Elden Ring in the best ways possible, all the character designs and environmental storytelling, even into like the appearance of certain characters and enemies and stuff, and what that says about who they are, what they do in this land, what that might imply about how they got here, or parallels in the base game. It's just so well put together, and the difficulty is really tough, but I'm quite appreciative of that, because it would really trivialize a game that is known for its difficulty because they weren't able to scale it properly. There's people coming in from all different, from New Game Plus backwards and everything else, and different variances in levels and stuff. It would have been really hard to scale it firstly. So the system that they put in place, I feel like it really makes you appreciate and enjoy, I guess, the exploration as well, because then you're rewarded for that.
They did a great job at that. I think you pretty much come in at any level as long as you've killed Moog and have the same experience based on the way that they've designed that. So the only difference that I could see, Cap, is tied to your stamina or your mana and being able to cast spells, I think. But otherwise, stuff hits hard and you hit like a wet sock regardless of how many stats you have in your main stats.
Because I suppose you'd probably want minimum 50 vigor, otherwise I don't know how you'd manage to survive a lot of these enemies.
I've just got 50 vigor now.
Yeah.
And I think I'll probably try to stick with that for the rest if I can.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I think I'm sitting about 55 to 60. I think closer to 55, but it's a good amount. But you're right. I think that's kind of the sweet spot. But incredible game so far. I'm really looking forward to keeping to work my way through that game and just can't experiencing
wait.
It.
I definitely will be doing a stream at some point when I find some time.
Yeah, I'm not buddy.
Fucking knackered.
Oh, mate, I know. Tell me about it. But yeah, so there you go. That was our big Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree deep dive. But I'm sure we'll be talking about this, in fortnights to come. So, hope you guys are enjoying it back at home. If you're not part of the Discord and you want to have a bit of a chat about it, you can go to ogr.show and look for our Discord link and tell us how your playthrough is going. We'd love to hear from you.
Hell yeah.
Legends. All right, Grizz. Now, we meant to talk about this a month ago, but we didn't because we didn't have that show. But anyways, there was like 50 fucking game shows that happened. There was a lot. So I figured we'd just go through the fucking list basically of the top picks. So I think there was the PlayStation State of Play, there was the Summer Games Fest, we also had like PC Games Show and a bunch of smaller directs, like I think there was a Devolver Direct and some other bits and pieces. And then we also had the Xbox Games Showcase. Where are we? We also had the Nintendo Direct more recently, so we've had a shitload of stuff come out and some pretty cool games coming and sneak previews. So some exciting stuff.
So I think we'll start. Capo?
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, am I excited! I think we'll start with the earliest of these, being the Sony PlayStation State of Play, which is the 30th of May. Now, a lot of big kind of reveals here, Grizz. I'm just going to start with, I guess, we'll go through the kind of more, I don't know, bigger ones for each one, for each game show, sorry. But starting with Concord. So we had a bit of a look at Concord. Concord was this kind of, God, I don't even know what you call it. I guess it's like a...
Reminds me a lot of Destiny. What is it, Cap? It's like a first-person Overwatch 2 kind of competitive shooter, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I think it's like a 6v6 online competitive shooter. Yeah, I think it's got like a... It kind of got the visuals akin to like Destiny, but then I think it's got humor and, I guess, the sensibilities of something like Guardians of the Galaxy. It's a 5v5.
I reckon this guy put it right here, Cap. 10% character design from Overwatch, 10% character design from Guardians of the Galaxy, sprinkled with a bit of Destiny gameplay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it looks pretty interesting. I don't think there was actually any gameplay revealed here. It was pretty much just all cinematic. But it kind of gave you an idea of, I guess, some of the characters and stuff. And I don't know. They're all kind of like, you know, semi-edgy kind of bullshit characters. And I didn't find them all that particularly appealing, but, you know,
trying to build some lore and stuff in there. But it's interesting, though, Cap, because obviously, I don't know, what do you reckon? It seems to be maybe a, because this is the second game that we've seen in this genre. Our last episode a month ago,
we
also talked about another game that kind of looked quite similar and just strikes me as being an Overwatch 2 competitor. Noting that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. And actually, there was some gameplay that was put out, and it does look insanely Destiny 2-ish.
Which is great because the gunplay, I think, was one of the best things about Destiny, Cap. It always
felt
really nice. And
if they can emulate the Destiny 2 gunplay, I think they're going to be onto a massive winner. I mean, they've even got a character in here called Star Child, which there's a character in, obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy called Star Lord. So, you know, I feel like that's an immediate nod to that. But, but yeah, you're right there, Grizz. It's funny, though, mate. Like, I feel like, you know, the whole Overwatch, you know, 5v5 competitive shooter had a real renaissance at one point. And, you know, there was a few companies trying to do it. Like, obviously, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six came out and stuff like that. Not that that was a, you know, a hero shooter, but, you know, kind of, I feel like that was like an attempt there to be something similar. There was a couple of others that came out. I think Lawbreakers was one of them, maybe, from memory. But then I feel like we've had a bit of a lag.
Oh, dude, some of them have just come out and then died weeks later as well.
Instantaneously.
What was that one that was massive for a little bit and everyone was playing and then it just has completely dropped off? Splitgate or whatever?
Splitgate, yeah. That was kind of, yeah, I think that was, that a bit Call of Duty-ish? I think that was a bit more closer to an arcade shooter though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't a hero shooter like you say, but still, it was a competitive shooter that literally came out for 5 seconds and then disappeared.
Yeah, but so we obviously had Concord get announced, but there was another one that got announced recently. There was a 5v5 shooter that I can't quite remember off the top of my head, but I guess what I'm getting at here is that we're kind of hitting this point where suddenly these 5v5 shooters are being announced and it feels like there's been a bit of lag time or maybe developers have seen a bit of a niche open there with Overwatch 2 kind of doing particularly poorly and Blizzard not really being able to support that game properly, I guess, realistically. And their fan base is, for the most part, probably hungry for something reasonable. So, you know, and I mean, this looks pretty cool looking at the gameplay. Like the is it kind of got the whole floaty, jumpy stuff and...
Yeah,
it looks quite Destiny nice as well. Mm. So yeah, I mean, it'll live and die on how good the gunplay feels and whether you as a player can have significant impact on the flow of the game based on the characters you pick and you know, how well balanced is it and all the rest of it. But you know, we'll see what it looks like. Looks pretty cool. So there you go.
Hell yeah, brother.
All right, so the next one, Grizz, was they announced that God of War Ragnarok is going to be coming to PlayStation. I mean, it's already on PlayStation. Personal computer, my good friend.
Yeah, obviously, we knew this was going to happen eventually, Capo, with the last God of War also coming to PC. But I think the announcement also said that there's a bunch of supporting some other like different display support and other things. It supports ultra wide display as well as the NVIDIA DLSS and AMD FSR and a bunch of other bits and pieces. But I imagine it'll look pretty dang good on PC. I guess the only thing is, Cap, didn't God of War, when that first came out on PC, wasn't it pretty much unplayable for a little bit?
I can't quite remember. I know that Last of Us was horrific. I can't quite remember if God of War was. I think there might have been some, maybe a little bit. I don't think it was as bad. I can't quite remember, though. Maybe. Mm. Regardless, this one will hopefully be fine. You know, touch wood. But there's some big updates coming, Grizz. So it's going to include super ultra wide display support, which I think is great because there's a lot of people who play on super ultra wide monitors these days. They're also going to be launching it alongside NVIDIA DLSS, AMD FSR, and Intel XESS. So those are your AI kind of supported frame rate improvers. And it's also going to include the Valhalla DLC, which I think was free anyway. So,
I didn't know there was a DLC for that. I don't remember that even coming out. But there
so they announced it a while back, and they basically made a roguelike within Ragnarok, which is really cool. So, I believe the whole idea was that you were kind of after the main game, you could go and do this, and it was you're going back into Kratos's memories and stuff, and working your way through there, and you could unlock, you know, roguelike abilities and stuff to progress through the memories and unlock some of his past and understand better about who he is and all the rest of it. So it sounded really cool, and I had a real fucking good time with that game, and I intend to go back and do that DLC at some point, but I just haven't really had the drive to get back in and start again, because I really wanted to go and get the platinum, but I just never really quite finished. I was very close, though. But that game is a ripper. Bloody ripper. All right, Grizz. Now, the next thing that they announced was, and there was a lot of speculation about this title, but they announced a standalone Astrobot game, which looks really good, in my opinion. So Astrobot, if you're not aware, Astrobot was kind of like the, I don't know, it came like Astrobot, I think, first came out with the PS4, and it was kind of like a tech demo kind of character.
They always used to show off the like capabilities of the console, you know.
Yeah.
So for PS5, you know, it displayed the haptic triggers and I'm sure PS4 probably vibration and I don't know, a bunch of other shit.
Yeah, and they did it with the PSVR as well. They had they did things like you know, the little Astrobot dude, he go into the PS5 and go and look at like the water GPU cooling and waterfalls and like all this other shit. You know, really gamified. Cool, it was great. Yeah. It was a really good way to kind of, I don't know, just kind of fluff up what's going on inside your console. But so they basically announced this. It's like a 3D action platformer, kind of, you know, akin to something like Super Mario Galaxy, and it looks fucking really good.
I actually am a big fan of this, Cap. I think it's great to see a dedicated release because, I don't know, I actually played through the original on PS5 on stream, and it gave me big, I guess, like kind of Ratchet and Clank vibes, almost maybe even Mario 64 / I don't know, those recent Mario 3D games.
Yeah.
Great platforming, great boss fights with some really interesting level mechanics sprinkled throughout. So looks like this offering is going to be much the same. But you know what I find funny, Cap? I don't know if you saw this post on Twitter, but apparently Astro can transform into other famous characters like Kratos, and you can change into Aloy and Nathan Drake and all those first title PS games.
IPs, yeah.
Apparently you can change into a hunter from Bloodborne. And so there was a lot of stuff on Twitter saying, how fucking dare they? They bring us Bloodborne remastered, but they're going to be releasing a game where you can transform into into a hunter.
So, I mean, look, they're always going to do it. They're going to leverage every single one possible. And, I mean, this is, I guess, the Bloodborne 2 where people have always wanted at the most part. So, but, look, I think ultimately, Grizz, like, it looks amazing. Like, I think one thing that I have to say about it, so, you know, Astrobot is this little robot guy, and, you know, he looks like a little I don't know, like one of those old, I don't know when if you can remember when you were a kid, like those little toy robot dogs that were going around maybe like 10, 15 years, or maybe not that long ago, maybe a bit older than that, maybe 15 or so years ago. But he looks like one of those little like programmable robot dogs, but everything in the game kind of looks like that as well. And I don't know how I feel about that being the main aesthetic, but you know, looking past that as being my biggest criticism of all this, I think it looks like a really well-polished action platforming game, you know, again, akin to a Super Mario Galaxy. And it looks like they're actually pulling it off. You know, like I feel like there's been a lot of attempts at the indie level to try and get some of that Mario magic going, but not quite had the budget or, you know, just the expertise to quite get it there. But looking at the gameplay that's being shot off in this trailer, it looks really promising and really fun. Like, you know, there's a lot of abilities and stuff that you seem to be collecting as you go through the different worlds, and each world seems to have maybe a few kind of PlayStation characters that you're leveraging to give you further abilities and stuff. And the big bosses look really awesome. Again, you know, there's obviously like a big boss in every sort of major zone, and you're kind of, I guess, fighting those. But then, yeah, you just got all these little other things that you're doing. You're kind of running or floating around on your little, you know, spaceship and trying to repair it to go to the next world by the looks of things. And yeah, all the enemies look really unique, and there's lots of, well, I say unique, they've still got that kind of robot aesthetic, but I guess the, you know, they've all got their own kind of gimmicky kind of stuff going on, and there's different ways you approach them. And yeah, it just looks really good and well-polished, Grizz. I think that's the big one for me is this looks like a, I mean, if you just slapped fucking Mario sprites on everything, this could be a Mario game.
It could be. I guess, yeah. And it's interesting thinking about this on a on another level, Kat. I guess what sells Mario for Mario is those years upon years upon years of developing those characters and, you know, the voice acting and everything else that goes into that. So the gameplay can be amazing. I mean, I look at, I guess, what's a similar vein? I guess Ratchet and Clank maybe might be a good example of something that's been a competitor. But yeah, looks wicked, mate. And the boss fights look pretty interesting too. Have you seen some of the little, very Mario-esque, I would say?
Yeah, yeah. The big bosses and, you know, on the platform and you're kind of trying to dodge stuff and use your special abilities to, you know, kind of knock them out and whatnot. But yeah, I think this is a really intelligent use of like PlayStation IP. And again, like I said, you know, they really seem to be pulling off the, you know, the Mario kind of 3D platformer. And I think the, you know, because like you were saying before is like, you know, there's been attempts to try and do the action platformer well, but they either fall down maybe because the IP's not as beloved. Like, I mean, I love the whole Ratchet and Clank thing, but it's not really quite – it's not Mario, right? Whereas with this, I think it's kind of got that Super Smash Brothers feeling to it where you're finding these characters. You're like, oh, shit, you know, we got freaking Snake or whoever else
maybe
is in
that,
there.
Maybe that'll help sell it a bit, Cap, you know, when you're finding those beloved PlayStation characters as you explore throughout, for sure.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like you said, like, you know, you got all these beloved characters that you're coming across and, yeah, and I guess what effect they have on the wider game with the abilities that you're able to lend from them. I mean, you see Astrobot trying to pick up Kratos's axe and stuff, you know, so obviously you're going to be using his axe potentially. And, I think there was even Shadow of the Colossus. You can see the character out of that. So what's that going to mean as well? I mean, yeah, it looks really, really good. I mean, you know, it looks like a lot of fun. Like, I think this is going to be a really, really fun game. I'm actually really looking forward to get stuck into it. It comes on the 6th of September, Grizz, this year.
Oh, 6th of September. Okay. Fantastic, mate. Not
so there you go. All right, Grizz, the other thing that was shown off here was the next Monster Hunter game. So this is called Monster Hunter Wilds. It seems like it's the next step after Monster Hunter Worlds, which was kind of the first attempt at, like, I guess, kind of, I would say like the massively multiplayer style of Monster Hunter and being a little bit more accessible and open. Because I mean, the Monster Hunter games have always traditionally been quite, I don't know, they kind of got that Dark Souls cumbersome UI kind of thing going on. And You know, it could be a little bit hard to navigate and whatnot, but I think they're kind of slowly trying to open up the Monster Hunter series.
I think they did a good, you know what, for me, Cap, Monster Hunter World was the first Monster Hunter game that I ever played.
Yeah.
That game sold 19 million copies.
Wow.
Hugely successful, brought a lot of people to that franchise, including myself. Yeah. I mean, look, the game isn't for me, but I will say that I think from what we can see, this seems to be delivering to that fan base. Once again, you see things like, you know, slaying and trapping large monsters across these various beautiful landscapes. Seems to be quests and items and classes and all the things that was fantastic about Monster Hunter World that still has a pretty active player base. I just hope, Cap, that they have the cats that cook your sushi. If they don't have the cats that cook your dinner...
Palicos.
Yep. If they don't have that, mate... It's not going to be 19 million copies.
Well, they're in the trailer, mate, so I'm sure they'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. That is part of the Monster Hunter brand. Like, I feel like they can't do a game without it these days. So I'd be very surprised. But, I mean, let's talk about what looks new. There's obviously a bunch of new monsters and stuff, Grizz, and, I think there's a lot of new weapons and whatnot. So, I mean, you know, your standard new things for a Monster Hunter game. But they're kind of going in on this, your mount. Like, you've got this little kind of like ferrety fox-looking mount thing that you can use to get in and out of battle. It kind of looks a bit like a bird-like kind of velociraptor thing. And that kind of helps you, you know, get in and out of battle and kind of gives you a bit more agility, which looks really cool. And yeah, I think it looks rad. It looks really good. It looks like a Monster Hunter game. So temper your expectations if it's not kind of your game. Like you said, Grizz, I think, you know, it's still at its base a Monster Hunter game, but looks like they're pushing the story a little bit harder this time. There's like some more voice acted cutscenes and whatnot. So yeah, they obviously made a lot of money off this game and off their previous games, and they're trying to put it back into, you know, these titles. So yes,
I'd love
good.
To know what the active player base on Monster Hunter World. Maybe while we're in the next story, I'll have a quick look at that. But yeah, for me, Cap, look, the game was great when I picked it up, and I really enjoyed it. Playing with friends, going out and hunting monsters. The bits that I didn't like about it, I thought the progression was just a little bit too slow and grindy for me around the particular monster parts and other bits and pieces, and I wasn't quite getting enough dopamine hit to keep me playing the game. But look, I think if you are a Monster Hunter lover, this looks to be in the same wheelhouse as the last one and should be giving you...
I think you're going to be eating well. Also, the environments look pretty cool. They're kind of doing this whole desert thing, and it seems like there's maybe... kind of, you know, underground areas of the desert that you get pulled into with quicksand. And I think the whole, I think a lot of what was fun about Monster Hunter was the unpredictability of where the fight could take place and where the fight could progress to as well. And it seems like that's really pushing that into different areas that will, you know, just make things look and feel like kind of crazy. So, you know, big sandstorms and, underground like caverns and stuff that you get pulled into. It's going to be cool. Looks cool.
So I tell you what, Cap, just looking at the player numbers here, mate. So Monster Hunter World released 2019, and on release it copped a lot of players. I won't talk about that. But it seemed to decline to about 35 to 50,000 players per day, and right now it's peaking around 100,000 players per day. So
okay. I mean, there's still a pretty significant amount of people playing the game, right? Like,
it is.
You know, and Tom. I mean, they had the Frozen Wilds DLC that came out. So there's a fair bit of content in there, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, man, like 100K active players, like that's freaking pretty good.
For a 2019 game, that's not bad.
Absolutely. You probably expect to see a bit more of a drop-off from that. But especially considering there's been two or three different Monster Hunter games that have come out since Worlds. Like they've had, I can't even think of it. Yeah, right. They've had other Monster Hunter games. I think they've been kind of console-facing games, whereas World was kind of a bit more multi-platform kind of whatever. But yeah, they've had a couple of – at least two other games that came. Rise was one of them. I can't think of the other one. But yeah, so there you go. Now, Grizz, those were the big announcements, I guess. Also – Monster Hunter World's coming out in 2025, open world follow-up to Monster Hunter World. Anyways, so There's a bunch of other stuff that they announced as well. We're not going to go too deep on this. We knew that Silent Hill 2 remake was coming out. They gave us the date for that. That's coming out on the 8th of October. There's a cheeky little spooky new trailer. You can go and check that out. Show you some of the scenes from the original game in the new remake engine. They also announced a new mainline entry to the Dynasty Warriors games called Dynasty Warrior Origins. I couldn't give a fuck about these games. I think they're kind of boring, but but look, it's there. The next game's coming out on PS5 in 2025, also coming to Windows, PC, and Xbox Series X. Now, they also announced that Path of Exile 2 is coming to PS5. I don't know how big a deal that is. Is Path of Exile 1 on PS5, Chris? Do you know?
I believe it. I don't know. I know it was going to be, but I don't know. Might need to have a look.
Yeah, I would have thought it's out potentially there. Potentially is. So. Yeah. But anyways, I just kind of assumed that was going to be the case anyway, but I'm sure it's probably big news for console players, so I'm sure they're pretty keen. Looks like early access to Path of Exile 2 on PS5 is coming out this fall. So what's that for us? Is that that would be spring, I guess.
Yeah.
So kind of what's spring for us? Kind of September-ish?
We're like opposite seasons between us and them, right? So
yeah, so fall would be spring and obviously winter is summer, you know, vice versa. So yeah.
And we're upside down, aren't we, Cap?
Upside down land. Yeah. But yeah, so there you go. They also announced there's going to be an Until Dawn remaster that's coming in this fall as well. So spring for Australians. They also showed some more gameplay for the, it says Wuxia style. I don't even know what the fuck. What does Wuxia mean? Is a genre of Chinese fiction concerning the adventures of martial artists in ancient China.
Hell yeah, pretty brother. Cool.
Anyways, there's a open world action RPG called Where Winds Meet. Now, you probably remember if you saw the trailer, but it's, you know, highly stylized, a little bit kind of anime-ish, but heavily influenced by like Chinese mythology and ancient mythology and whatnot. So looks quite cool. It's got a bit of a Neo kind of vibe to it, but maybe a little less looty, loot driven, I guess. So it could be really cool. The boss battles look pretty nuts, so go and check that out. Definitely looks like it's got a bit of Souls in it. Anyways, outside of that, there's a bunch of other shit in here. They note one of the other things coming out is an Alien Rogue Incursion of VR, a PlayStation VR 2 thing coming out. They've also got another thing called Behemoth, which is a VR 2 thing. Anyway, so there's a bunch of other shit. Fucking boring. You won't go and check it out. You know, I just pull this off Polygon, so you know,
so you're gonna find it. There's one that I wanted to pull out that you haven't spoken about yet. It could either be really good or really shit. Yeah. The Ballads of Antara.
Okay, talk to me about it.
So this is touted as
an ambitious... Is this your pick of the show?
This is my watch one for the show. Yep.
Yeah.
It's about Ballads of Antara. It is touted as an ambitious Souls-like in a faraway land on the verge of being lost to conflict by the invasion of some crazy creatures, and looks very mystical, a little bit more maybe cartoony / I don't know. Almost like Final Fantasy-ish kind of. Combat looks okay, Cap. I think it could go either way, but the bosses and the enemy design that you see look pretty cool.
Just checking it out now. It does look pretty rad.
I think it either could be really good, Cap, or it could be really shit, but I think it's probably one to just keep your eyes on, see how that kind of develops as we see bits and pieces. We do see gameplay, though, which makes me think that's always a good sign when they are free to show some gameplay.
Yeah, so, I've just seen that there's like the main character or something has like his brother or something on his back, and I don't know. I can't do games like that. It just makes me too fucking sad if something happens to one or the other. I just can't fucking do it, so I probably won't play this one.
Okay. The other one I wanted to talk about, Cap, not in a good way, but did you watch the trailer for the Alien Rogue Incursion?
No, do I need to? Is it fucking bad?
Dude, I reckon it's 15 FPS, if not less. It really is. The frame rate is so bad in that trailer.
I'm watching it now. What the fuck? I don't know whether that's a stylistic thing or whether it's like, yeah, it does not look good. Maybe. I hope it's a stylistic thing, like it's supposed to be like, you know, like a, you know, video recorded footage or something. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It does. Yeah, it is pretty low frame rate. Not too good. But yeah, so your pick of the thing, Grizz, that was
Antara. Yep.
Yeah, nice because, one.
Look, there's nothing else in there that really excites me. I'm not going to play Monster Hunter Wilds. I've already got God of War Ragnarok on a PS5 that I'm going to play. Yeah. Concord looks all right, but I don't want to play a first-person shooter competitive game. So I'm going to pick something that just kind of looks interesting in there. What about you, mate? What's your pick of the lot?
I am quite excited for Astrobot. I really think that's going to be a banger. Yeah, I'm really excited for... I don't know, man. I really loved the Mario Galaxy, and I loved Odyssey. And I'm really interested to see another developer take that reign and really try and push that, and maybe give Mario a bit of run for its money. Like I'm just really excited to see what this looks like.
Yeah.
So, and it's coming soon, like September 6th. That's not far off. So pretty rad. So there you go. Nice. All right, that was the PlayStation State of Play. Now the next thing we had, Grizz, was The Summer Games Fest, and it was a bit fucking boring.
Jeff Keighley. He knew it was shit too, though. So he always puts a poll up on his Twitter after these to say, "Hey,
how was it?
How did we go? Yeah. What did it get bad? It got bad.
Yeah,
votes,
it was not great. I think 65% of Keighley's own Twitter followers gave it a C or D grade in the poll.
And he responded to that saying, yeah, true, it was a bit of a light year, but that's, I don't know, is that an excuse, Cap? Like,
Do you know what I think? I think Keighley just, see, this is the thing. I think he goes really hard on the Game Awards, and the Game Awards works really well because people are willing to give their games a bit of screen time then and there because it's a bit of a spectacle. You know, people are really excited to see who wins Game of the Year at that particular award and stuff. So I think it's a good time to put things on display, and a lot of people probably and developers put their product there because that's, you know, the place to be. Whereas I don't know, man. There's a lot of other game showcases happening at this exact time of the year. I mean, we literally had a Nintendo Direct, we had a PlayStation State of Play, we had an Xbox State of Play, Devolver Digital had theirs. Like, who's putting their games first on this stage? No one.
We've been talking about this for a while now, Cap. That, you know, in-person events have, you know, it feels like E3 is gone. Maybe not a thing of the past, but definitely people are doing their own showcases. Do you even need a Summer Game Fest, Cap? People seem to be just managing their own releases by this.
Honestly, I mean, maybe for some of the smaller indie developers, but I think it's just a bit of a moneymaker for Keighley. And I mean, hats off to you. You've put together something that makes you a fair bit of coin. And I don't know.
Let's talk about the cost here, Cap. Apparently, the cost to have a trailer on the big stage at the Summer Game Fest, $250,000 for 1 minute, $550,000 for 2.5 minutes. That's quite a few spondules, mate.
It is a lot. So conversions, Grizz, what was it? $250,000 USD is $375,000 Australian dollars, or $550,000 USD is $824,000 Australian dollars. That's the thing. No indie is going to be able to pay that.
No one.
Not. For a minute, 2.5 minutes, no one's going to be able to pay that. It's ridiculous. So, and I mean, what AAA developer these days, you know, a lot of developers in general, realistically, you know, it's a cost of living crisis. A lot of people are tightening their belts. Who looks at those price tags and goes, let's fucking do that. That's a fucking great idea. Instead of just putting it out on YouTube themselves and making their own kind of place, you know?
And the it's insane. You know what? I actually kind of see this alongside of the advancement in discovery across our social platforms. I mean, you look how much Twitch has changed, for example, and YouTube and TikTok and Reels and everything else. It's much easier to get media across to people via a digital platform. Easier than it ever has been ever. So
I think if you've got a good product, it will pull, like, gamers want good product, right? And I think it will naturally like proliferate through channels if that's the case. You know, if you've got a shit product, of course people are not going to be interested, and maybe you need to spend fucking $1 million to try and get people interested in your shit game. But you know, I mean, ultimately, I don't think you have to spend that kind of money, and obviously AAA developers are just not, because, you know, they're doing their own game showcases, like you said. But then, yeah, like Gary J in chat's noting that, you know, some of these amounts are, that's a full budget for a 2 to 3 person studio, right? Like Gary J said. And that's 100% true. You know, who wants to actually spend that? And I guess, are you going to get your money's worth? Probably not. A lot of these things that are being announced on these show, on that show, like they've probably already been announced, or, you know, I don't know if you're going to get quite, and especially if you're then getting on Twitter, you know, people saying that the, you know, the show was a C or a D. Do you really want to be on a show that's got a C or a D rating?
I don't know. When you look at the games we're about to talk about, Cap, there's nothing on there that's like, wow,
oh my God,
this is amazing. There's no Hollow Knight sequel. There's nothing like that, really.
Yeah. Now, look, this is obviously biased. Maybe we don't like the games as much as someone else does, but let's start from the top.
Yeah.
There's another Lego game coming, Grizz, but it's not the game you expect it. It's not Batman. Yeah. It's not fucking Superman or something else. We're apparently getting a Lego Horizon Adventures game, which sounds bonkers. But when you see the trailer, I kind of get it.
Dude, apparently, I haven't played one yet, Cap, but my brother's kids have played them. Apparently, those Lego games are fucking really well made.
Yeah, no, they're great. And I think normally, like the Star Wars Lego games are goat games. They're rippers. And I think in a lot of ways, this almost will probably work better than the original Horizon games. I think.
Oh, no.
I don't know. Like, there's something about the Horizon games that just, I really like what they're trying to do, but I feel like they just kind of miss the mark, and it just feels a bit plasticine-y, if that makes sense. Like, it doesn't feel like it's kind of all there to kind of feel organic and natural. It just, you can kind of see the RPG edges a bit too often, and I just kind of lose my interest with those base games. But there's things about this, and I guess just the whole Lego kind of thing, and you know, you're trying to setting traps for these Lego monsters, and you're breaking pieces off the Lego monsters, and it just looks really freaking cool. I really like the look of it, actually.
Kev, apparently Ashley Birch is doing the Alloy voice acting in this still.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, she is the voice actor of Alloy from the Horizon games. So
that's great.
That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, it basically just looks like a Lego game in the style of Horizon, doing a lot of the similar stuff, and I guess there's a lot of gags and whatnot. I mean, Aloy literally throws a sandwich in the mouth of a dinosaur at one point in the trailer, so, you know, you kind of get an idea of the tongue-in-cheek kind of thing going on. But yeah, looks cool. Go and check it out. Now, next on the list, Grizz, we got a teaser for Sid Meier's Civilization VII. No gameplay. Okay. No, nothing. It was just hey, it's coming. Here's a bunch of figurines that imply historical things and whatever else.
I think this is almost the announcement of the show, Cap. These games are pretty dang popular. Although I will say, Cap, I feel like people play more Civ 5 than 6. Would that be accurate?
I don't know. I don't play Strat games at all. So anytime anyone talks about Civilization, I pretty much tune out because
maybe we should try it out, dude. Apparently it's really
probably should give it a crack. Yeah. But also I hear it takes ages to play. Like, you know, you gotta wait for old mate to have his turn, and then like someone's like, all right, my turn, and then they're sitting there fucking around trying to figure out what they're gonna do, and it's like, all right, well, I'll just go and, I don't know, make dinner or something, and I'll come back, and then maybe it's my turn eventually. I don't know. Mm. That sounds like shit.
it sounds like a real boring real strategy game. I think it's definitely a game for nerds, real fucking smart nerds, Cap. So maybe that's not me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely not for me. I'm not a smart nerd, but I'm a nerd. And I just don't find this particularly engrossing, unfortunately. Strat games have never really interested me, even real-time strategy stuff. I really haven't kind of gone towards them. The only thing I've really played to great depth when that kind of area is World of Warcraft is Warcraft 3. So
Cap, anyway, it is coming 2025, Cap. The game will be launched on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch.
Yeah. Way. Oh, Switch. Okay.
Apparently.
Interesting. Switch.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, well, yeah. 2025, that makes me think that maybe we're getting a Switch 2 announcement soon, because I can't imagine Civ 7 running too well on the Switch, right?
No.
So it's going to have to be on a new console, so surely. Anyways, we'll see. Watch this space. Grizz, the next thing that was announced was a game called Asgard's Wrath 2. Now, people probably thinking, what the fuck is that? Asgard's Wrath is what was touted as one of the best fantasy RPG VR games of all time, if not the best. It comes for free on the MetaQuest 2, and now Asgard's Wrath 2 comes out with MetaQuest 3 for free. And apparently it's a really solid RPG game in a VR space. So worth a bit of a check out. It's kind of got the whole Egyptian god thing going on. If you buy a MetaQuest 2, you'll get it for free. But yeah, it looks pretty cool. You know, it's all VR-y, but I think it's like the quality of the RPG in the game. I feel like a lot of RPG games, you look at VR games in general, I guess, you look at them and you think, oh God, man, that looks pretty rough. But yeah, it looks like it's pretty well put together.
It does look a bit rough, but yeah, I think you might be right in that respect. Be different once you got the headset on doing the thing.
Yeah, exactly right. Once the headset's on, you know, the fidelity drops a little bit to ensure that it runs smoothly. But also I think it's quite well put together, that original game. So I think a lot of people are pretty keen on this one as well. And I don't know, if I ever get a MetaQuest, I reckon I'll give it a crack as well.
Give it a whirl. Yeah.
There you go. All right, Grizz, another one that was announced at this same show was a game called Tears of Metal. Now, I thought this looked fucking sick. It is, you play as this Scottish warrior who is just, you're in, I think it's like a roguelite kind of hack and slash kind of third person Cap. Over the
shoulder. I got it. It is a Scottish dynasty warriors with a slash of roguelike metal music with the darkest dungeon aesthetic.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. And I did shit talk Dynasty Warriors earlier, but I would play this.
It's such a bizarre combination.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. And the main character, there's just something about it, mate. I feel like he looks like my granddad or something. Like I'm all for it. So my heritage is tingling here. I need to give this one a crack. So.
Playing some bagpipes, Cap, and you see him, you know, entering those big Dynasty Warrior like battles and. Braveheart kind of screams and doing their things. It does look pretty cool, Cap. There's a lot of positive comments on the YouTube video of this. People actually legitimately look pretty excited. But it is co-op, Cap, which kind of gets me excited. And I also really like that it is a roguelike as well. So obviously you make those little decisions as you play through the game to make your build and kind of make your playthrough stronger. And then also at the same time, if you die, you start again with some small little upgrades. So I like it. It looks cool. It looks interesting, Cap. Could be good.
Yep. No, I like it. I like the look of it. Now the final kind of main thing that came out of this show, Grizz, was a game called Phantom Blade Zero. Now it was interesting that this wasn't shown at the State of Play because, well, I guess maybe State of Play was for newer games, but they had spoken about Phantom Blade Zero at a previous State of Play. But this was a gameplay trailer for a upcoming kind of hack and slashy Soulsborne style game. It's kind of set in like a kind of it's almost like a post-apocalyptic Japan kind of thing going on with like cyber ninja kind of shit. But it's a bit closer to,
It kind of reminds me of God of War with like a almost Sekiro aesthetic, Cap, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. But things are like there's a little bit of technology sort of splattered around. So, yeah, it actually looks pretty cool, I think.
I actually quite like the story sitting behind this one, Cap. I'll just quickly read this out to you here. So you play as Phantom Blade Zero. You play as a Soul, an elite assassin serving an elusive but powerful organization. After being gravely injured, he was brought back to health by a mysterious healer. In effect, this curse that only lasts for 66 days, meaning he's only got limited time to seek revenge on his enemies. So you've got a bit of a time criticality here. 66 days to go wreck people.
Yeah, that does sound pretty fucking rad, to be honest. So.
Pretty rad, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yep. No, it looks cool. Interested to see, I guess, some more and see how it gets critiqued and see whether it's worth my time. But yeah, that's coming in TBC. Not sure yet. But they're showing it in September at other game shows.
Lots of gameplay in that trailer as well, Cap, which I think is generally a pretty good sign for games like this.
That it's coming up soon.
Yeah, you can kind of see a little bit around how the game's actually going to play. So it took me by surprise, this one, a little bit. I think it could be pretty fun.
Yeah, 100%. Looks very rad. So, Grizz, those were kind of the main, I guess, titles that were shown. There was a bunch of other stuff. I'm just going to quickly kind of scoot through some of these. There was a zombie game called No More Room for Hell 2. There was a Quidditch game from Harry Potter coming out. They released some Star Wars Outlaws stuff, a bunch of little indie games. They did show some information on Black Myth Wukong, which releases on the 20th of August. I think it was like a pre-orders are open now kind of trailer and a bit of cinematic stuff going on. There was also a trailer for a game that people are getting pretty jazzed about called Once Human. Don't know an awful lot about that one, but I think people are pretty keen on it. Some more Warhammer Space Marine 2 stuff, bit of Street Fighter 6 DLC shit. I mean, look, there's a bunch of other shit in here I'm not going to even fucking bother with. But, yeah, basically there's a bunch of smattering of stuff. One other thing that was in there, Grizz, though, was the cinematic trailer for Dune Awakening. That's that kind of open world kind of MMO-style survival game. And the more I hear about that game, the more I think, fuck, that sounds fucking sick. There's some pretty cool shit. There was some behind closed doors preview stuff, and they were allowed to talk about what they saw. And what they were saying was basically this game takes place in like an alternate universe where the events of the movie don't happen and instead this happens. One of the kind of gimmicks of the game is that you can either become part of House Atreides or part of, the Harkonnen kind of guys, so good or the bad guys kind of thing. And then the whole idea is that you're going and making, you can build stuff out in the game, kind of like, your classic survival stuff, but you can build stuff and then turn it into blueprints. So you might go and build a special little shelter or something, and maybe you come up with this great idea for a shelter. So you can build the blueprint, but then you can sell the blueprint on the marketplace to people.
Oh, dude,
which I think
cool.
is fucking cool as hell.
How good is that?
I think it's really freaking cool. Another really cool thing that they've got going on is the whole game revolves around spice. So, you're trying to find more spice to improve the abilities that you can utilize in the game. Give you access to different materials and stuff and all that kind of shit. So it's really important. It's like a fuel. It does lots of different things. All of the spice competitive stuff, so you're kind of fighting for spice with other players and stuff. Now, there's this big kind of sandstorm happening in the center of the map where you go into and you try and set up four bases to get access to more spice. And you can use your blueprints to kind of put, structures and stuff into the sandstorm to try and get like forward bases and stuff. But at the end of every week, the sandstorm wipes everything clean. You've got to start all over again to get more spice. Yeah.
So it's really fucking cool. Risk reward action there.
Yeah. So it's kind of got that kind of extraction thing going on, but not quite. But also like your character can get addicted to spice and shit and like, as you use more spice, you need more spice like your character does. So it's kind of cool. Like the whole risk reward thing really amplified it. Like the more I hear about this game, I think just fuck, this sounds Unbelievable.
Wasn't there a Space Marines 2 tickle here as well somewhere?
There was, but I think it was mostly the same stuff that we'd already seen. Some rehashed shit. So
we also got a cinematic trailer from the Black Myth Wukong as well, which added a little bit more hype, I thought, Kat. They're also offering a pre-order for that as well you can pick up. We've been talking about this game for a little while now, but do we know a release date? That August 20 is coming, yeah, so it's far away.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Yeah, so trying to build a bit of hype up there, but I think that's from the showcase, Cap. I think for me, obviously, we already know this game is here and coming, but yeah, great to see another cinematic trailer come from that. And the other one that I haven't talked about yet, Cap, is this new Skate game coming out. It is Skate 4, I believe. We saw a gameplay trailer as well. And I think the Skate games were always in the heels of the Tony Hawk games. They're always a little bit behind the eight ball in terms of popularity.
Couldn't quite meet it.
But I do feel like the multiplayer aspects of the Skate games have always been better. And I'm hoping this looks pretty great. These big open skate areas where you can skate with your mates and almost like an open worldish kind of skate games that seem pretty fun. So
yeah,
it is an EA game, but yeah. We'll see. It could be interesting. Apparently, we're going to see that fall 2024. When the hell is fall 2024?
I think it's spring, so I'd say around about September-ish.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Same time.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Well, I think for me, Grizz, pick of the stuff, probably, I mean, not that the trailer was anything special, but the just more of here about Dune Awakening just makes me go, fucking, I need to play that game.
looks cool.
Yeah. And then... I mean, Tears of Metal looked really cool. That kind of Scottish metal roguelike thing going on.
Actually look cool. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm actually kind of. I think Lego Horizon Adventures actually looks pretty sick.
You reckon that's going to be nice?
I mean, I actually kind of like the look of it. So, yeah, I think those are my picks for Summer Games Fest. So, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, Grizz. Next showcase, we had the Xbox Games Showcase on the 9th of June, and there was some fucking shit that came out of there, Grizz. So let's just kind of start at the top. Firstly, we had Call of Duty Black Ops 6. So they formally announced that that's coming out. It's kind of, they've got George Bush, what is it, Bush Senior? I think that's like Cold War. It's Cold War-esque shit going on.
Apparently it's set in the era of the Gulf War. I don't know if that means anything to people, but...
I don't know fuck all about wars, so... It looks like there's a lot of kind of like FBI shit going on and, you know, it looks... It's got a little bit kind of like Ocean's 11 kind of stuff going on, but then also, you know, mixed in with the, you know, big kind of... global conspiracy kind of shit that have I guess the Black Ops games have been known for. And then there's some weird shit going on with like crash test dummies, like picking you up and choking you. So I don't know whether that's
this will be a new campaign, right? That's what these Black Ops, new games are. It's a kind of playable,
and the previous Call of Duty game was heavily criticized for its shitty campaign. Yep. So
right.
I think they've gone pretty hard on this one. And it looks pretty cool. So, I guess go and check that one out. Looks pretty rad. I mean, it's a Call of Duty game, you know, so expect the expected, I guess. That's coming out on the 25th of October, Grizz, on PS5, nice. PS4, Xbox, PC, and all the rest of it. It's also coming to Game Pass on launch day, which is kind of wild in my opinion.
Wow. I mean, it's going to be shit or what?
I don't know. I just think I just don't think it's sustainable. I can't keep putting these games out for free on fucking Xbox Game Pass because, you know, people are just going to spend, you know, $15 for the month and then just drop it and not play it again. So I don't know. I feel like they're losing out money, but hey, I'm not a businessman. But there. Now, Grizz, the next thing that they announced was what was hyped and leaked before the showcase. And it was Doom the Dark Ages. So
we talked about this actually a month ago on the last episode, Cap, didn't we?
We did indeed. Now, I guess it's kind of Doom as we know it, the newer style Doom. You know, the heaving kind of metal songs and like, you know,
and the pace.
Just, oh, yeah, fucking, just
even, know, the, even the demons and stuff. The enemies actually look reasonably similar, right? Like the guys that we see. Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, kind of your classic Doom mobs and stuff, but the aesthetic is very, it's a little bit different. It's still kind of got that kind of technological thing going on, but it leans quite heavily into, I guess, like medieval kind
it
of.
It does, dude.
Yeah, the medieval.
We see Doom Guy in armor with like shoulder pads and spikes and stuff. And at one point, he's wielding a ball and chain. I don't know if you saw that. And he's like swinging it around his head.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks really rad. I actually really prefer this aesthetic to the kind of. I've always found the more recent ones to be games to be quite vibrant. This looks a bit more grim and dark and. Yeah, it looks pretty sick. Like, some of the weapons are just ridiculous. Like, there's literally a gun where it's just crushing skulls and shooting out the skull fragments at enemies. And then there's a big, like, kind of big flail, and you've got a shield that you can use to block bullets and stuff. And
the shield seems to be the new version of the chainsaw, because at some point he, like, pulls this thing and that there's like these fucking sharp things that are going flying around the outside of the shield and cutting people in half with his crazy shield chainsaw. So
it looks really cool.
But he still has the shotgun cap. That's one thing that I know.
Still has the shotgun.
The old Doom shotgun in medieval
times. Can't forget
times.
The shotgun, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, just looks like, so I'm about to sneeze. Just looks like bless more, I'm probably going to do it again in a second. More Doom. Bless me, there it was.
Mate, good muting, Cap. Fuck, that's
I'm quick.
Clever, man.
I'm quick. More Doom demon hunting fucking annihilation fun. And the Doom guy looks really cool. He's got this big kind of like furred cloak and he looks like a freaking badass. Plus the music, man. It looks good. So yeah, go and check that out.
It's very good.
Next on the list here, Grizz. We had a trailer for, now I didn't put this in the run sheet, but I kind of just thought I would bring it up anyway. They revealed the Dragon Age The Veil Guard video trailer. What, now, this was DLC? A cinematic trailer. This is a brand new game. It's a brand new Dragon Age game. Now, people saw the trailer and thought, ugh, what the hell? That looks fucking gross. It did look kind of gross, and it kind of made it look like a Guardians of the Galaxy ripoff a little bit, and people were just like, what the fuck are you doing to Dragon Age, you idiots?
Is it a fucking mobile game, or does it just look shit?
Yeah. No, it just didn't fit the style of what Dragon Age has been. Dragon Age has kind of been like a kind of... God. It was one of the first... I don't know. Dragon Age, for me, I guess, was like one of the more adult kind of RPGs. Like it touched on, you know, relationships and other stuff. And this kind of really took it back a little bit. And the humor was just a bit fucking lame. And the character interactions in the trailer were just like, it kind of felt like a Guardians of the Galaxy like trailer or something. Bit stupid. Anyway, so people got really annoyed by it. Now, what happened after this was, I guess they went into damage control and they essentially revealed a gameplay trailer that was 20 minutes long. And people were like, oh, okay, this actually looks wicked. It looks amazing. And I had a bit of a look at the gameplay trailer and I thought it looked fucking boring as hell. I thought it looked really fucking mid. So
apparently the former Dragon Age boss Cap has said that this is the best Dragon Age game that he has ever played.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he thinks that. I don't know. I looked at the game. I really enjoyed the last Dragon Age game, which was, can't think of the name of it. I'm sure someone in chat will tell me what it is. It was an open world MMO, or not MMO, it was an open world RPG Dragon Age game, and I thought it sounded really, you know, quite well in general. But it had a lot to live up to. Like the other Dragon Age games were excellent, really well put together.
Did I play one of the early ones? I think it was Inquisition, maybe. And it was
Inquisition is the one I'm thinking of. Nice.
Yeah.
That was one of the later games, actually. Hang on. No, it was. Yeah, it was the most recent one. The latest game, anyway. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there was Dragon Age 1, Dragon Age 2, I guess, which had a name. I can't think of the name of it.
Origins. I think Origins. I played one of the real early ones, and it was really, really good.
Yeah. I think they've all been excellent. Now, I watched the trailer for Veilguard, the gameplay trailer, and it was just very on rails. It seemed a bit linear, and I don't think it's open world at all, which, you know, open world's not a deal breaker for me, but I just looked at the combat and I thought, this looks very fucking boring. Kind of got the MMO kind of ESO kind of style, like you choose your abilities and use those abilities. And yeah, it just kind of looked like, okay, I'm walking to from here to the next bit of dialogue and then fighting some boring enemies in between and then doing that again and again. And now I'm at the final cutscene of this area and now, okay, cool, on to the next area, guys. Yeah, I thought it looks very, very boring. So people seem to be really jazzed about it, but I thought it looked a bit shit. So anyways, interesting to see what people at home have to say about it. And if again, if you're not in the Discord, OGR.show, go and check out the Discord. Let us know what you think.
Just one more thing here, Cap. I'm just reading an interview here apparently with one of the Dragon Age directors saying that apparently the progression is incredibly deep, comparing it to the long-running series by BioWare, Mass Effect. So if they're comparing it to that, I don't know.
Yeah. It's a pretty difficult comparison, in my opinion, because Mass Effect was kind of open.
It was.
And it wasn't, you weren't kind of drawn into a like fairly linear story, whereas this one feels like it's going to be kind of walking down a fucking corridor. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like the look of it. I mean, I hope that I can be corrected. But I tell you what, Grizz, I've generally got a pretty good fucking feeling about these things, and I reckon I've got a pretty good feeling about this one too.
Usually off the mark with this shit.
So, don't know, it looked a bit mid. Anyways, so we had that. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to kind of skip through some of these, Grizz, but so they showed off some of their Starfield Shattered Space DLC stuff coming soon, which I'm sure Slados is fucking pretty keen on. Actually, it's all right. Probably like a quite a cool little addition. Looks like there's an extra area and some weird space kind of I don't know, soul shit going on. There's some DLC coming to Fallout 76. That game is a pile of shit. So I would not play that if I were you out there. So don't play that game. A bunch of other stuff. They also announced, they released an official date for the World of Warcraft, The War Was In, which is the next addition to the, you know, the World of Warcraft, the next DLC. That's on the 26th of August, which I don't know. I might get back in. We'll see.
I actually wouldn't mind either, Cap. Maybe after Elden Ring.
See you there.
Do something fun.
Let's do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other shit in here, Grizz. I'm going to kind of go through this.
What about this Gears of War E-Day, Cap? Did you check that out?
Yes, so that was the next in here. Sorry, I missed that one. So they announced Gears of War E-Day, which so if you're a Gears of War fan, you probably know a bit more about this than me, but I believe the whole idea of E-Day is the day that the I can't remember, I think they call them the Swarm or the bad guys. I think they're called the Swarm. The day that the Swarm emerged, basically. Yeah. So it's E-Day, Emergence Day, because they come from within the like planet or some shit. Anyway, so this game is basically a prequel. So we go back
it's like
to
the origin story, isn't it, Cap?
It's the, like origin, the origin story. Which I mean, I think people are really keen on, because I don't think people were like the new characters as much as they did the original characters, which is fairly standard and classic, but you know, is what it is. So you got Marcus Fenix and his friend, fucking old mate, Dom Santiago. So
this could be cool, Cap. So apparently it's built from the ground up using Unreal Engine 5, and apparently it delivers very, very nice, unprecedented graphic fidelity. So the trailer does look pretty, pretty cool. It is going to be a co-op shooter. So far from what I've read in comments sections, people are actually quite keen on this. You know, a bit unexpected, you know, not to see a Gears of War 6, but see something that's a bit different in this universe. So,
I think, you know, the Gears of War games always had a really good, I don't know, you know, just really well received, because they did the whole co-op shooter really well with the whole cover-based system and you know, you're kind of having to communicate and work together to kind of clear areas and stuff. So I think people are pretty keen for this. One thing I will say is I love the ideas of prequels, but then I always worry that, like, for me, because I'm such a story buff and I want to know more about the world and, you know, I guess I'm always looking for that next big hook, whereas, you know, with a prologue or something, it's like, well, what can you tell me about the events of things that, what implications can you give me to make me go, oh, shit, you know what I mean? So it's possible, but I always worry that maybe I won't get those oh, shit moments as much.
Because you kind of feel like they're doing that thinking after the fact when they've already written that main story.
Exactly right. So
it's going to be, you're worried it's going to be more of a disappointment rather than, you know.
Yeah, and they can't, it's like, how can you take the story to the next level without it being in the next level? You've gone back, you know what I mean? So,
I hear what you're saying, Cap. I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
But, yeah, trailer looks cool. Interested to see some gameplay. Now, probably I think this is the big one for me, Grizz, and I'm going to say this is the pick of the show for me. They announced Perfect Dark, which is a brand new game in the, I guess, the Perfect Dark Now series. It's a brand new kind of, you know, video game, and it looks very different to the original Perfect Dark that came out in Nintendo 64 way back when. You've got your Joanna Dark, you're a special agent, you're following a target, and you're in this weird, you know, futuristic city out in, like, somewhere that looks kind of like, I don't know, it's almost like Rio de Janeiro or some shit. And you're doing all this shit where you're, like, spiking audio equipment to try and get access to areas, and then there's, you know, you're kind of doing some that mirror game where you're kind of doing, like, parkour some Mirror's Edge stuff going on, and it looks pretty cool. And I mean, I just love the idea of Perfect Dark because I loved the Perfect Dark game. I think it's one of the best games on Nintendo 64, and they just weren't quite able to really follow it up well. But this could be really cool.
I think it looks really cool, Cap. I actually didn't play Perfect Dark, but I do remember seeing it around. And it's kind of the whole premise of the game, right, is a futuristic society, but the world's on verge of collapse kind of thing, isn't it? So it's kind of like I don't know. Everything looks fine, but actually it's not fine.
Underneath it all,
things are actually quite fucked up. So I think this looks really cool, honestly. I think the kind of gives me a bit of Mirror's Edge, definitely. Yeah, bit of gunplay, bit of interesting kind of, I don't know, what is it? Is it first person, Cap?
Yeah, first person, but I think, you know, it's kind of got the, you know, there's points where you're shooting, like, gas canisters to make, to reduce the visibility, and then you're shooting through it because you've got a special gun that has, like, thermal sights and stuff on it. So they're kind of drawing on the original game that had, you know, guns that could shoot through walls and stuff like that. So, and there's kind of some stuff towards the end of the trailer that implies maybe there's some alien stuff happening, which was a big thing in the original game. Like, you meet an alien and his name's Elvis and he runs around with you and you're like, Elvis is part of the fucking crew and you're doing shit with him. So I'm just really interested to see where this goes, basically. And I think, you know, it says here that you're following one of the world's most wanted criminals, Daniel Carrington. Now, I swear that was the name of your leader in the original game, which, or maybe not, can't quite remember. No, maybe not. I think I might be wrong. But he was a character in the original game. It says Daniel Carrington, an intelligent scientist, entrepreneur, founder of the Carrington Institute. He's Joanna's boss. I was right. I'm fucking right, as always. Anyways.
You're always right.
Interesting stuff. So they got, you know, recurring characters and stuff. So yeah, I'm quite interested in this one, Grizz. Looks good. Now I'm just going to pick out a couple other ones, and we've got to keep moving because we've still got one more thing to go through. But they also released another trailer for Fable, which looked really good. Kind of liking the English humor that's quite present in this. Kind of just gives me a lot of, like, kind of almost IT crowd kind of vibes, but like obviously medieval fable kind of style stuff. And yeah, just quite funny. So go and check out that trailer. It looks really, really good. They also released a trailer for Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred. And man, that fucking, what was that character's name? Nayrel in Diablo 4. She really annoyed me in the game, and she's annoying me again in this fucking trailer. She's just an annoying character. And yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this DLC goes.
Okay. Do you reckon it'll be the redemption cap or what?
I think they're laying the groundwork maybe for there to be an attempt at that, and I hope they can do it, because I would love a great Diablo game, and I'm sure you would too, Grizz. I think that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
But they've got some work to do to make it really make it just feel good. Now, there's a lot of body horror stuff in that trailer, and it is pretty fucking gruesome, actually, in some areas. Not for the squeamish, but worth a bit of a look. If you're not.
Cap the
Diablo Vessel of Hatred trailer.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah, there's some like body horror shit going on, and yeah. But yeah, very look, the trailer's really good. Classic Blizzard kind of cinematic. It just looks really, really sick. Now, the final thing I'll talk about, Grizz, is they also announced that there's some new Xbox Series X consoles coming out. There's now a 2 terabyte SSD version and an all-digital Xbox Series X. So there you go. You can get a discless Series X. So I won't bother going through all the other stuff. A lot of it's stuff that's already been announced. You know, Indiana Jones got shown. There was Avowed made another appearance. Microsoft Flight Sim, some sort of smaller indie games. Age of Mythology Retold got another trailer. Metal Gear Solid Triangle / 3. But yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff that got announced here. My pick of the bunch, Grizz, I'm going to say Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark? Fuck, did I actually pick one? Right here. I didn't pick one, mate, but I'm going to just agree with you. Perfect Dark. Yep.
Love it. All right, Grizz. Now, the final thing on our list to talk about tonight.
No, going to change my mind. Doom, Dark Ages, mate.
Yeah, nice. I was going to say Doom also looks really fucking good.
Does look good. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very keen. All right, Grizz. We had a Nintendo Direct 6 days ago, and it was a bit of a doozy, actually. There's a fair bit of shit that was announced. So let's start from the top, Grizz. We had Mario and Luigi Brothership announced. Now, I'm a big fan of the Mario and Luigi games. They're kind of the RPG Mario games where they tend to embellish the Super Mario RPG form factor and go really hard on just weird moves and stuff. You know, they had like Mario and Luigi Dream Team and some other earlier titles. And yeah, it kind of goes heavier on the, I get the partnership of Mario and Luigi and them kind of using each other to do big moves and stuff. But this looks really cool.
I don't think you can go wrong with this one, Cap. I just think it looks fantastic. It's giving me a bit of Paper Mario vibes, this 2D, kind of 3D thing happening. And
they've kind of got a cell shading thing going on to kind of give it the feeling of the earlier Mario and Luigi titles, whilst also kind of being, I guess, like a Switch 3D kind of thing. Yeah. It looks really cool, the art style.
And I just think the whole, you know, they remastered that original Super Mario RPG recently. Was it this year, last year, whatever it was? But look, that game and games of that nature from Nintendo are just great. That whole turn-based thing where, you know, you're reacting certain button presses to or bounces on the enemy's head and defend at the right moment. I think they just are a really enjoyable game to play on a handheld like the Switch. So I think this looks pretty cool, Cap. Coming in November.
Yeah, coming November. There's a lot of little mini games and stuff, and yeah, I'm pretty keen on this one actually. It looks really good. So yeah, there you go. And the next one, Grizz, they announced was the Nintendo World Championship NES edition. Now, I really like the idea of this. There's kind of all these
what is this, mate?
So basically, there's it's like an online thing where you can play the old NES games.
Whoa.
So
right.
Early Mario, Zelda, Ice Climbers, Kirby. And there's all these different challenges you can do. So there's even like Excite Bike? Yeah, and you can basically go on these leaderboards to see get the highest score on these small little challenges from those games. There's even like challenges like they're called Legend Challenges, where you can basically see who can get the fastest time on certain levels. And
dude, this actually looks dope, man. It's kind of like that you know, when they released that very limited time, that Mario 100 Man Mario
thing?
Yeah,
it's got the same feel. Yeah.
It does, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So,
it's crazy because like so many different genres of games. We see that original Zelda in there. You can see Metroid as well, one of the original Metroid games, and a bunch of Mario and things in there. So
yeah, there's all kinds of stuff in there. It seems like there might be things like who can kill these enemies the fastest, and who can do, you know, World 4 level Stage 2 of Mario, of the original Mario game, the fastest and stuff like that. So there's all these weird and wonderful challenges, and you go on a leaderboard and, you race against ghosts and stuff. So that looks really cool. I thought I'm actually quite keen on that. Now, Grizz, they also announced another Legend of Zelda game, which I was very surprised for. There was no leaks or anything for this, so I couldn't quite believe it. Now, the game is a top-down kind of a Link Between Worlds style Zelda that came out earlier. This one is called The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which launches on the 26th of September. Now, the whole story for this one is Link has been pulled into another world. And so Zelda's actually got to save Link. So this is the first time we're playing as, I guess, Zelda is the main protagonist, which I think is awesome. So Link basically kind of defeats Ganon, but then Ganon like creates this big void and Link gets sucked into it. And so Zelda kind of gets saved, but then she's got to run away from this void and she's left behind, got to try and figure out how to save Link. And so the whole gimmick here is that Zelda has this special like wand or something, or a little fairy pal who gives her a wand, and she can use that wand to copy objects in the world to then put out into the world. So you can go and copy a table, and then you can go and put tables down in the world to give you extra height and stuff. And then you can put two tables on top of each other to give yourself a little staircase. And so there's all these different things you can do with all these objects that you find in the world, crates and beds and even water cubes to, you know, do like elevators and stuff.
So what do you think, Cap? Is it going to be hot or flop? Think it looks
good? I actually like the look of this. I think it's because, I mean, they could have just done the standard, you know, here's Link again in another game, sure. And I think that would have been perfectly fine and been really good. But I think this is a cool, it kind of has the Breath of the Wild, like make your own adventure or make your own solution vibe, but then in the top-down environment. So, you know, you're even doing these things where you're copying enemies to fight on your behalf. I think this looks really cool. And I'm really keen to give this a crack. Because I think there's going to be a lot of ways for people to come up with different solutions to problems that maybe even the developers didn't foresee. So, I think this is going to be a speedrunner's delight when people find all these weird, stupid ways to defeat bosses and, you know, do certain challenges and stuff.
Copy enemies and shit. I love this comment in the YouTube video here, Kat. Finally, my grandma will be right when she tries to guess the main character of my Zelda game.
Yeah. Yeah, and my wife.
Very true.
So, yeah, I'm quite keen on this, Grizz. I think it looks really good. And, yeah, I mean, you can't really go wrong with the Link Between Worlds kind of visual kind of on the Switch. I think it looks really good. So, yeah, really keen on that one. Now, the final thing, big announcement anyway, that they announced, Grizz, they formally revealed Metroid 4 Prime, which is just finding the exact trailer. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond. Now, people have been waiting and waiting for this, and they finally dropped this bad boy. It looks like a Prime game. I'm not the biggest Metroid kind of person ever. It looked pretty good. I thought visually it was pretty serviceable. I didn't think it looked amazing. Did you watch it, Chris?
Yeah, I did. I did watch it, Cap, and similar vibes to you. I mean, I'm biased here, right? I haven't really enjoyed any of the Metroid 3D games. I'm much more of the SNES and the NES and the Dread 2D side-scroller Metroid games. And I kind of felt that, I don't know how I'd feel about a 3D Metroid shooter on Switch. It just doesn't fill me with confidence. But apparently this was pretty well received, right, Cap, by the community that love these games and
people
pretty dang hyped. So much that I saw some footage of a guy literally fainted on the reveal of this in an audience somewhere watching this live. So
that is wild.
Yeah, clearly people are pretty dang hyped up.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Metroid Prime games have been beloved, basically, and people have been really, really hanging out for this. I think originally this game was in development, I think, back in 2019, and they restarted the development in 2019 because Nintendo wasn't happy with the product that was being made, because they basically have a third-party developer creating the game. I think they were Retro Studios or something. And yeah, Nintendo basically said they weren't happy with the product and they pulled it and they said, we're going to restart from the beginning, which I think is a fucking big ball move, in all honesty. But yeah, Nintendo doesn't fuck around. So anyways,
they do not fuck around, mate.
Exactly. It's been in development for 5 years and this is where we're at. So, you know, looks pretty interesting. Will I play it? Who knows? Probably need some more gameplay to really decide, because it just looked a little bit... I don't know, a bit vanilla ice cream to me. Not particularly appetizing, but you know, with a bit more stuff, we'll see what happens. So, yeah. Now, other stuff that was announced in here, Grizz. You know, there's a lot of Japanese RPG stuff. Ace Attorney was littered in there. Looks like LEGO Horizon Adventures is coming to Switch, which is kind of wild. They announced a new Super Mario Party game called Super Mario Party Jamboree. Pretty
dang.
Cool. Yeah, okay. Pretty rad. Yeah. We're also getting Darkest Dungeon 2 on the Switch. We're also getting a remake of Donkey Kong Country Returns HD.
Yeah, I've seen that. Now, what was that on, Cap? That was on something, was that on
Wii U or Wii?
Wii U, yeah.
I think it was one of those. I don't know if you've seen the remake, but the graphics look pretty fucking rough.
Yeah, dude, I actually saw a guy post on Twitter about this, comparing it to the original, saying the graphics is actually worse.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways. So what I mean, look, sorry, it's not worse, but there is less particle effects and less little bits and pieces and details that were in the original. So
I actually think the fidelity of the original Wii with like just the graininess of things kind of took the edge off it, and now because it's like a high fidelity kind of thing, it just looks a bit shit. But I'm sure people will enjoy it. It's some of the sprites in there, man, they look fucking hot garbaggio. So
garbaggio.
Yeah. Anyways, outside of that, there's a bunch of other mostly just RPGs.
Lord of the Rings. There's a Lord of the Rings game coming, mate. Tales of the Shire. You can be a hobbit.
I thought that looked pretty average.
Yeah, pretty boring. Look, if you're looking for a cozy game, I think you can plant crops and cook food and have your hobbit friends over for dinner, but it doesn't look graphically very nice, does it?
No, I think cozy gamers will be pretty stoked, but I don't know what they've done to the hobbits, man, but they look weird.
You know what they're going for here, Cap? What's that island game that everyone fucking loves, dude, where you like have your little island?
Is it Animal Crossing?
Yes. They've gone for Animal Crossing in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, which I get it, but I don't know what, like, the visual style of the faces of the hobbits, I do not like at all.
Gandalf looks
I actually
shit,
hate
dude.
It.
Did you see Gandalf at the end, mate?
That's not fucking Gandalf, mate. That's some fucking imposter. But yeah, it does not look fucking, it does not look appetizing, honestly. So okay. I don't know. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And Airy J in chat saying it's taken inspiration from 80s cartoons. Yeah. Well, yeah, I can get that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Visually, I feel like what they should have done is just made it not hobbits. Do something else.
Dude. Okay, maybe I shouldn't sandbag it before the game's out, but this is a fucking good idea, dude.
It is farming a good idea.
Sim, Lord of the Rings farming sim hobbit game. Oh,
yeah.
In the Shire. Oh, it'd be great.
The only issue is, like, you know, I was really keen on that dwarven Middle Earth under the
that lasted
just bombed.
2 seconds,
I think it's not doing too well. I think it was shit. So I don't know. There's something about this that just looks a bit boring. So
boring.
I don't know.
Anything else tickle your fancy in there, Cap? I think that's pretty much it, isn't it?
Yeah, look, that's pretty much it for me. I think pick of the bunch for me was Echoes of Wisdom. I'm pretty keen on giving that a whirl. Close up after that will be Mario and Luigi Brothership. I'm pretty keen on another Mario and Luigi RPG. And I've always really liked the Mario and Luigi RPG specifically. I like Paper Mario. I like the original Mario RPG, but I've really liked the Mario and Luigi RPGs. It's just a little bit more silly, but then also I feel like they're a bit more they push the combat a little bit harder and like inputs and stuff. I just feel like they're a little bit more well put together.
Yeah, I like I think Mario and Luigi Brothership 100% looks amazing. But I think the World Championship NES edition could be interesting, Cap, to see some little PvE, PvP action happening.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely could be fun. Tell you what else could be fun, Grizz.
What?
Finishing this show and going to bed.
I agree. I'm fucking tired, eh?
I'm a bit tired as well. But it's been a ripper. Thanks for sticking around, guys. Really appreciate it. Hope you've enjoyed the show. We're not going to be doing our rapid fire news tonight because we had way too much shit to talk about from all the game shows. So hope you understand.
Too many things.
We don't anticipate another month-long hiatus, but, you know, stranger things have happened. Look, it won't happen again that we are aware of. But, yeah, you can expect us back in a fortnight from today. Again, thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to find this, you know, in podcast form, you listen to this live right now, you can do so by going to ogr.show. Follow the links there. You also find a link to our Discord if you'd like to come and chat to us. You'll also find a link to our Twitch. Very easy to click that link. Otherwise, go to twitch.tv/oceanicgamingradio. Go and follow us there. We're live every second Monday from 7 p.m. Australian Western Standard Time, baby. Also, there's Patreon. You can go and pay us some money. Patreon.com/OGRshow.
Hell yeah, so brother.
Anyways, thanks so much. Appreciate you guys immensely. We'll see you guys in a fortnight. Look after yourselves and just be fucking legends. Yeah. Peace out, Grizz.
See you, mate.